Glory to God. Hallelujah. Would you stand with me, please? I'd like to dismiss our children to Sunday school at this time. I'd like to turn your attention to Hebrews, the 12th chapter. Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. I said yesterday morning at prayer, religion has a different concept of what pleases God. Sometimes people feel that if they sacrifice to their hurt, that would be pleasing to God. I mentioned years ago in Mexico City seeing ladies crawling on their hands and knees on cobblestone streets, carrying flowers or balloons all the way to the church, thinking that that would well please God. There are others who pierce themselves, cut themselves. In India, many times they have prayers in little turners that they keep turning, thinking that every time they turn it, God hears the prayer, you know, or falling down on their face, even hurting themselves. But what I said yesterday, and I feel so strongly about it, there was a God who was hurt in the body, so we never have to sacrifice that way. But our sacrifice now is not to be hurt, but to understand the joy of the Lord for what he has done. I want to somehow change your concept of worship this morning. I know I teach on it a lot. It's my favorite subject because I see there's an immediate response to it, and it's something I wasn't raised in, something I missed out on. And I don't believe that worship should be confined to worship service. I believe when somebody has a special up here, you should be on your feet. I believe you should be worshiping with them. I believe you should be worshiping with the Word of God. I really do. I don't believe that worship should be confined to the house of God, but it should be everywhere, in your car and in your home, you see. Hallelujah. We demonstrate to people around us how much we really love God. The only demonstration we have is how we worship our God. So this morning's preaching will require some response. I was on my way to we have a walk-in closet on the second floor to get ready this morning, and I wasn't even talking to God, but I was thinking in my mind, God, is this really what you want? And the power of God just came over me, and I began to uncontrollably weep. And it was God's way of reassuring me, there's no question, this is what I want. And sometimes I teach on baptism and oneness and the Holy Ghost, and I think, well, I've taught on these things so many times, but there's somebody that needs to hear it. We need to have people sitting next to us who need to hear these defining teachings about the Word of God. And I'll tell you this morning, this is how I feel. I feel that during this preaching, if someone would just stand up and worship God, you're going to see your miracle this morning. I really do. I remember early in my walk with God, there were times where I felt like standing up and worshiping God, but I thought, what will other people think? I'm so far down the road that I don't care what anybody thinks. I just want to respond to God. I want to worship Him. One more scripture, 1 Peter chapter 1. Verse number 8 says, whom having not seen, you love, in whom though now you see him not, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. For the joy that was set before him, he went to the cross, that we could have joy unspeakable and full of glory. No restraints on us this morning. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. After the suffering, the glory will follow. It did with Jesus, it will with us. After the suffering, the glory will follow. Lord, we ask your blessing, your anointing upon the word of God this morning. Lord, that through it, we could draw closer to you, have a better understanding of the purpose for you coming to this world. We'll give you the praise. It's in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We need to understand that the whole purpose for Jesus dying on the cross was that he would have a people who would be exclusively for him. A family, sons and daughters called by his name, people whom he could have an intimate relationship with, who he could interact with, who he could talk to, who would look like him and act like him and take on his character. Hebrews said, he endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. I'll suffer the cross knowing the great joy of the relationship with them. 1 Peter 1:11 said, it testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow. The joy and the glory to follow was all about a people that God would now interact with. God desperately wants to interact with people. Sometimes sin has not allowed that to happen. Sometimes guilt has not allowed that to happen. Sometimes religion has not allowed that to happen. But if you look at the book and you understand, God wants to interact with us, not just for an hour on Sunday, but God wants to interact with us, each and every one of us, all of the time. He wants us to be preoccupied by him. Amen. Hallelujah. This is not just something that we do as a hobby, something we do a couple of times or three times a week, but it's a life-changing experience. There are a few of you mothers here, including Sister Webster, who went through considerable pain in birthing a baby. But it was all the joy holding that baby that was make it all worth the pain. It was the joy that was set before him that he endured the cross. Even the process of raising a child isn't easy, but there are those moments, the first time the baby crawls up on your lap, puts its arms around you and says, I love you, Mommy. I love you, Daddy. You say, hey, whatever you want. Let's buy him a car right now. Hallelujah. I know I've cleaned up some stinky things, but you know what? That kid is just awesome because it was a voluntary act. Crawling up on my lap and putting your arms around me, it just turns me to jello. To see them grow up in your likeness, even if perhaps they're adopted, they still take on the likeness of the parents. And we've been born, but we've been adopted as well. And we've taken on his values because he values us. What about the first time you walked to the altar and said, Jesus, I love you. The first time you raised your hand, the first time you saw how important the cross was. We begin to conform to his image, take on his values. This is the joy that was set before him. If we can comprehend the joy that we bring to God, if we could just comprehend how valuable that is, then we won't have a problem worshiping God all the time. Amen. Not just when everything is going well for us, but all of the time. If you understand the pain that he went through just so we could have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Hallelujah. Amen. Would you turn to Psalms 42, please? Psalms chapter 42, verse number 1. It says, as the hart or the deer panteth, longs for water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance, for the help of his presence. If you felt the presence of God here this morning, there's something about it that is reassuring. I'm here. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to take care of your situation. God put a yearning within us to worship him. Nothing else can satisfy us like worshiping God. Nothing, because the very purpose for him to go to the cross. Yes, salvation is a byproduct, but it had to be for an intimacy and a relationship with that which he created. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. Some people mistake the feeling that I have to do something for God rather than worship God. Just busy for God will not satisfy us or satisfy God. There are many who feel that they need to have a position in order to be fulfilled. Well, we're born in a position and we're born to be worshipers of God. Amen. If we fulfill that position, then anything else is just, incidental. Glory to God. The purpose of Jesus coming to this planet was not to just save us. That was a natural byproduct of his arrival. His purpose was to reform and make worshipers out of people who were rebels and against him. God wants man to be preoccupied by him, sometimes so lost in thought and worship that we are unaware of our problems and our surroundings. Psalms 42 and 5 said, I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. I'm going to praise him. I want to feel that presence one more time. Amen. There is nothing more valuable to God than the worship of someone redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Amen. Nothing is more important on the face of the earth than his people. Amen. There is something about someone who has come up out of the pit, from mud, from the slop of sin, filled with the Holy Ghost, and becomes glorious and has a door that is open to the Shekinah glory and presence of God. It's what we experienced here this morning. When their praise goes up, the angels have to shut up, while the redeemed are released in order to worship God and sing and lift their praises to God, you see. Angels sing by occupation, but we worship out of choice, regardless of what's going on in our life. And God's saying, shh, 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 my church is singing, my church is worshiping. You just hold it. Hallelujah. Nothing more important. Do I hear somebody worshiping in the middle of the night? Hallelujah. We have got to understand how important, how vital to our own well-being worshiping God is. And then see how important It is to our own well-being. Amen. We can't go beyond the level of our perception of God. And what happens is when we're worshiping God, it magnifies how great he is, you see. We have another glimpse of how awesome our God is. If you're just sitting there bowing your head, folding your hands, you do not have a concept of how great our God is. Worship opens the windows of heaven and gives us a revelation of what God is all about. Worship is always the result of revelation, not observation. Hallelujah. It's not about a book report here. It's about entering into a dimension of God in worship that says, you know, I may not have heard what the preacher said, but I felt something in that place. Not the result of facts, figures, and common truth. It's all about seeing God high and lifted up. Hallelujah. We have the doctrine right. We know about the oneness. We know the name of God. We have the right birth. We're born of the water and born of the Spirit. We know about separation, but doctrine can become a substitute for real worship. We hold on to the word and we hold on to the truth, but just don't sit there holding on to the truth. We got to somehow be the joy of the Lord. Worship is what releases God to show himself strong on our behalf. Hallelujah. There are all kinds of seminars on trying to open the door to God. You know, they have all these different keys. But you know what? If you just stand naked before him, God, I'm not much, but I'll tell you what I have. I want to give you. God is going to release himself. He's going to show himself strong on your behalf. I believe worship releases us from frustrations when things don't go well, because worship blocks everything else out of our life except the idea of feeling the presence of God. Hallelujah. Isaiah lived in a world filled with chaos and crime and unrighteousness. But when he saw the Lord high and lifted up, Isaiah 6 and 3 says, the whole earth is filled or full of his glory. He didn't see the problems. He saw the glory of God. It's all about what you're focusing on. Hallelujah. Well, I got to get to church because I need a healing. You can, but your focus needs to be on Jesus. Hallelujah. I got to get to church. My marriage is in trouble. He can, but you need to focus on Jesus. My finances are bad. My job is horrible. He can, but you got to focus on Jesus first. Now, there are people who are satisfied with working for God, talking to people about God. And there are some benefits to that. There's no question. There's this good feeling that comes over you. Teaching Sunday school has its advantages, and teaching Bible studies, you know, I'm sold out to that. Working around the church, there's so many who have helped or giving. It makes us feel better about ourselves, but God doesn't want us to substitute work for worship. Hallelujah. You can get to the place where you're so busy for God, but you really haven't interacted with God at all. And God's saying, that's nice, but you know what? I didn't die on the cross so you could work around the church. I died on the cross so we could have some interaction with each other. It's got to be the preeminence of our life, because just down the road, I know there will be a battle. And if we aren't worshiping God, we're not going to be equipped in order to handle the battle. No matter how many times we battle those things, they're going to come back. If you've got problems with lust or temptations or irritations or attitudes or envy or strife or injustices in your life, you know what? If you don't worship through that kind of stuff, you're going to have the same battles over and over and over again. Worship causes you to resist all of that kind of stuff. Worshiping God destroys the things so they're no longer have any kind of power over you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now there are three different, there's a difference between praise and worship. We've talked about this before. Praise is for the moment, but worship is something that'll change us forever. Praise won't give us a lasting victory. It's a thank you, Jesus. I got to go to lunch. But worship says, no, God, I want to be changed from the inside out. Hallelujah. I praise God for what he's done for me. I praise God for my home. I praise him for my family. I praise him for my healing. I praise him for my finances. I praise him for my health. But you know what? These are things that have to do with time and matter, the things that happen right now. But worship deals with things that will never change. He will always be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. It lifts us to a new level with our only God. So when we get past praising God for what he did and worship him for who he is, we leave the temple and we start to move into the eternal. And God shows us things that no man sees except through worship. As long as we're on a praise level, we look for God to bail us out of something. But when we get to the level of worship, we can say, you know what, God? It doesn't matter. If I have to be sick, it doesn't matter. If I have to be poor, it doesn't matter. I've got you, and you are all I need. It's eternal. It's not temporal. Hallelujah. What a picture God gave us in the tabernacle plan. There were three compartments. There was the outer court, the holy place, and the holiest of holies. Each had their own lighting system. The outer court had natural light, the sun. The holy place had a produced light. It was a candlestick. And the holiest of holies, well, there wasn't any light in there except for the glory of God. It was a holy light. The first area was a place of sacrifice done by natural light, a good example of our praise and our thanks. Anyone can do that kind of natural thing. We have the ability. They can see God when he does the miracles. And when we get to the holy place, we no longer are in the place of sacrifice, but we enter into a place of service. We light the oil lamp. We renew the shewbread. We offer incense. It is a place of service. It is beyond the place of praise. It's beyond the place of giving. Anyone can praise God in the outer court. But do you do what God wants you to outside of church services? Are you going to go home and worship God? Are you going to go home and praise him? My Bible says, a royal priesthood, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Listen, if we expect to get into the holiest of holies in church services, we need to practice in private. Hallelujah. If you're worshiping in private, you'll have the power to worship him in public. Hallelujah. It is after you have gone from the natural light and the light of service where no one sees you. You see, when you get to your house, no one's going to see you worship. That then God pulls back the veil to a supernatural light. Here, it is all adoration of God. When you get there, your problems can't come in. You can't bring unpaid bills. No complaints are allowed. You get into a dimension of the holiest of holies where the light of God gives you revelation of awesome things, because God won't share his glory with your trouble, your problems, because this is worship. It's not what about the song Suvers produces. It's not about the special. It's not even about the preaching. It's what we produce in our worship, in our praise. I can't even imagine why God would want to get close to me. I know what I'm like, but God still wants to get close to me. Hallelujah. This should give us a motivation to get our engines running, to get close to God, to want to come to this altar, motivated to raise our hands and lift our voices. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is not like another service, folks. God's opening some doors for us. Hallelujah. To the supernatural, if you will. I've seen people in song services, their hands lifted up and clapping to their music, but when the service leaves the level of praise and enters into the holiest of holies, suddenly they're wondering, I don't know if I like this. That's what I'm talking about right here. You can be comfortable until something like this happens. It's called a deep move of God, a move of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're stepping into another dimension, folks. Hallelujah. Now it's more than clapping your hands. It's more than shouting. There's a natural sobbing. There's something that happens within the house of God that causes us to reach out and touch him. Hallelujah. Sometimes you can't speak. Sometimes the hair on your back raises up. Sometimes your goosebumps have goosebumps, but that's the presence of God for the joy that was set before him. That's what's happening right now. I want to get locked into an embrace with the King of Kings. There are too many people who can't praise God because of what's going on in their life right now. I've got a situation. God, would you just take care of that and then I'll worship you. But it doesn't work that way, folks. Hallelujah. God promised Israel a land flowing with milk and honey, but he didn't tell them that somebody else was occupying it. Hallelujah. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Hallelujah. Our vision determines our victory. God is not a bless me Jesus club. Come on, give me mine. Hallelujah. The early church was blessed. They had power because they saw a lonely carpenter that had been beaten and killed walk into hell's quarters and say, give me the keys. I have the power. He took all of the power and the authority of hell. Jesus put death to death. He stepped out of hell with a glorified body. He walked through a wall and said, touch me, I'm back. Hallelujah. I want to say this morning, he can walk through a wall. I don't care what wall you have. He can walk through a wall this morning. He can get to you this morning. All he's saying is, touch me, I'm back. Just touch me, I'm back. It's the reason he endured the cross. Hallelujah. Would you all stand with me, please? I understand that we're not all at the same level. But there's no question that God wants to get you to a place. You came from sacrifice. You came from service. But now it's time for you to walk through the veil. That's your flesh. And get into a dimension with God. That not only can heal you from all of your troubles, but it can cause you to forget about him. It doesn't matter. Hallelujah. He's here this morning. He's here this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Some of you need to come to this altar. The altar's open. Come on.